in the morning, 9:22 on a Tuesday. Closing in on the November presidential election, and it's getting crazier than ever, as we will discuss tonight. We discussed yesterday morning and this morning, whenever the hell you're listening to this. Some people listen to this at all different times, so. But it's dark when I record it, so I always say night, so. If I'm interrupting your COVID-19 stupor, I apologize. Thanks for joining us, as usual. Busy day today in the news of the Moore Payne show tonight. Discuss a lot of things. Could have something pretty big tomorrow on the Big Wednesday podcast. We'll see. There's a lot of things being developed. Sometimes these things take a little time. Sometimes they come together right on time and see what happens. We'll eventually have it. If we don't have it for tomorrow, we'll eventually have it. Good stuff. More insights, more intel that you're not getting other places, which is important to me. But before that, we get into Payne in the Morning today, and the first headline is report White House to put forward Supreme Court of the United States nominee in the coming days. We'll touch on that in a minute. Before we get there, though, let's say a special heads up and a special shout out to the folks on patreon.com/truepundit, subscribestar.com/truepundit. And as a clash, ask, what's my name? That's my platform, subscribers. Folks get to watch the video podcast of Payne in the Morning. They get the Moore Payne show coming tonight. And I'm trying to stay focused and do the plugs without jumping in here, and we appreciate the support on those platforms. It goes a long way. The subscriber-only platforms, you get access to all the banter, the chatter, the good discussions, the intel that's being swapped. I got to get back on top of that. There's a lot of stuff that goes back and forth there that if you zero in on those platforms, you really learn a lot. It's a great place to learn without being threatened, like on the gates of hell, Twitter and Facebook is lost as far as I'm concerned. Talking politics or visiting political groups on Facebook, they clamp down on everything that doesn't match their ideology. Zuckerberg is a real tyrant, so Facebook is lost. And hopefully, I know a lot of my friends, right? They're all checking out of Facebook. They hate it. They're deleting their accounts after they, like, it's over. And hopefully it is over for Facebook because they suck. Plain and simple. Hey, hate to break it to people out there. Couldn't happen to a nicer tyrant and weirdo like Zuckerberg. A real piece of shit. Let's tell us how you really feel, Mike. So we appreciate the support on those platforms. Again, a shout out to those people. Patreon.com/truepundit, subscribestar.com/truepundit. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And we will also be, well, we'll talk about that when it's ready to break. Some other things we're working on, but we'll bide our time. We won't load you guys up with too much. It's been a busy day, a lot of information coming in on a lot of different things, as you can imagine. It's news Armageddon with things going on. Let's jump right into that right now. Let's see what we're going to play for this. So it looks like President Trump's going to try to get it in under the wire just in time. Speaking of time, remember these guys? The time President Donald Trump will put forth a nominee to replace Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away Friday evening from complications of pancreatic cancer in the coming days. Must be nice to like John McCain not show up to work for a year. Ginsburg was out how many years? 2 years? 3 years? Getting paid. Imagine if you could do that in your life. I'm just not going to go to work. I'm important. I'm a big deal, so I don't even have to go to work. And I'm such an egomaniac that nobody can take my job. These people are public servants, right? Clinging on to their office and their position on their deathbed. A sad lot of people. Don't you think the country would have been better served if you let a healthy person come in and conduct the business of the country? What does it matter when it's so corrupt anyhow? I agree. Sources told ABC News that President Trump already has a short list of potential nominees, and the White House will announce a finalist for the court vacancy this week. List includes United States Circuit Court Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Rising star has been mentioned routinely as a front runner to fill the next Supreme Court vacancy, despite having just been confirmed to her current position. Barrett, a former clerk for the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, currently sits on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit. National Public Radio reported that Ginsburg's dying wish was to be replaced by the next president.
My most fervent wish is that I will not be replaced until a new president is installed, she reportedly told family before passing away.
No one elected you, Ginsburg. We don't care what the fuck your wish was. You're not bigger than the court. Shut up. This is the same unbiased, impartial Supreme Court justice who tried to railroad Trump. Remember, she came out literally. When's the last time you heard a Supreme Court justice say anything? She came out publicly against Trump a couple times. It's like, Ruth, you're not even healthy enough to go to work for a whole day. Keep your mouth shut. Don't comment on politics. But she wasn't a judge. She was an activist. Unbelievable. Celebrated. Celebrated. The people we celebrate in this country are unfucking believable. These pro athletes, these dingbats like Ginsburg. Where the real heroes go unsung, unthanked, and broke. Really is incredible when you think about it, how backwards we are as a society. Maybe we'll learn some priorities here as we have to run the gauntlet or refocus our priorities. Let's see if we learn anything from going through tough times and adversity. Normally you do. Let's see as a collective if we do. Maybe some of the dummies can wise the fuck up. I have my doubts. Second story, court sides with Pennsylvania Democrats. Mail-in ballots to be counted 3 days after the election. Oh, boy. Anything goes, right? Anything goes. This is happening with states now. So the election day is not really the election day. They need a little cushion worked into everything. So in case they want to steal the election with massive fraud, they have a nice cushion. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Town, wearing masks thanks to Fauci, who's 2 feet from the ground. On Thursday, Pennsylvania Supreme Court sided with the state's Democrats, allowing a 3-day extension past Election Day to count the mail-in ballots. That's how long it takes the Democrats to usually count. Extra 3 days. You know when you finished your SAT test and you went out? You were hungover, you took your SAT test? You went out, left the test, like at 4 p.m. or whatever it was, and then you passed the school where you took it, and there were still lights on at 7 o'clock. Those were the Democrats. They needed an extra 3 days to complete the test. We were already going to our next keg party. Like, who are those people still there? Oh, they're going to be the future Democrats. Most of those people will be politicians. The vital battleground state Supreme Court granted Democratic Party's request to order an extension of Pennsylvania Election Day deadline to count mailed-in ballots for 3 days after the election, Associated Press reported. The PA court has a Democratic majority of 5-2 over Republicans. I don't know how they do it. Pennsylvania's a red state. Except for, you know where. The ruling also authorized the use of satellite election offices and drop boxes, which Philadelphia and its heavily populated suburbs are planning to use to help relieve the pressure from an avalanche of mailed-in ballots expected in the November 3rd presidential election. Nothing's more secure than a drop box. In July, an experiment conducted by CBS News to test the integrity of mail-in voting ended in disaster in Pennsylvania. Stunning 3% of the votes were never counted. Philadelphia Post Office. Fucking disaster. You know why I know? My old man worked there. Enough said. You can't even believe the stuff that goes on. So Pennsylvania's in play. And Election Day is not really Election Day anymore. It's kind of just election... when is election day? Does anybody fucking...
Milgen, when's election day? December 3rd? Okay.
Clyde says it's December 3rd, Mildred. You can vote on November 3rd, but might not be counted for a while. Unbelievable, am I right? Am I the only... I know I'm not the only one that thinks this is stupid. Michigan, headline, Michigan joins Pennsylvania with a mail-in ballot extension. Oh, man. If we're going to Michigan, let's go talking about Pennsylvania and Governor Wolf. How about some Steppenwolf? And we're talking about Michigan with that bird brain as the governor. Let's go on a magic carpet ride. Michigan, find out what's going on with Crazy Eyes Mayor Gretchen Whitmer, bird brainer, a Michigan judge on Friday ruled that the state must accept ballots that arrive within 2 weeks of the election. Holy shit, these ballots are going on a magic carpet ride around the country. They start out in Joe Biden's basement, and who knows where they end up. Unbelievable. Your vote on a magic carpet ride. What the hell do we vote? Why is there an election day now? Shouldn't it just be an election month? These guys fuck up everything they touch, the Democrats. You know, King Midas, everything he touched turned to gold. Everything they touch turns to shit. It's true. The state must accept ballots that arrive within 2 weeks of the election, as long as they're postmarked by November 2nd. Oh, yeah. And these mouth breathers that'll be checking postmarks, okay? I'm sure they know what a valid postmark looks like compared to some stamp you could make in your basement next to your toilet wine. Judge also said that the state, which was decided by 10,000 votes in 2016, 10,000 votes decided the president of Michigan, cannot restrict who can help voters return an absentee ballot. Oh, well, that makes sense. Anything goes. We're going on a magic carpet ride, folks. You don't know when to vote. All the absentee ballots are flying around the country on a magic carpet. Michigan joins Pennsylvania in recent mail-in ballot rulings after a top state court on Thursday relax the deadline? Well, we talked about that. 3 days, we just talked about that. Let's take a magic carpet ride around the rest of the United States to see how the election lawsuits and other king swing states are shaping up. Feel up the carpet. I can have a lot of fun, but we'll save it for Pain After Dark. In Florida, there's a major dispute over steps which former felons must take in order to regain their right to vote, which could affect nearly 800,000 votes. An estimated 2/3 of affected felons are black and tend to lean Democrat. It's a lot of felons in Florida. Still looking to moving down there. Let's take the magic carpet to Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, residents filed a class action lawsuit against state election officials and lawmakers over the state's controversial April 7th primary election, which was fraught with last-minute legal and political wrangling over the state's alleged failure to create reasonable accommodations for primary voters amid the pandemic, which forced thousands to sacrifice their vote rather than run the risk of in-person voting during America's worst infectious disease outbreak. And more than, oh yeah, it was really fucking bad, this infectious disease outbreak. Fuck out of here. Who writes this shit? Seriously. Plaintiffs want the court to recognize the state's past failings and avoid a repeat in November. Right? Let's take the magic carpet to Arizona. A lawsuit over how the state handles ballots cast at the wrong polling location is working its way through the legal system. Currently, election administrators are required to toss ballots which were miscast at the wrong location. Another lawsuit in Arizona, second lawsuit over voting. As we continue on our magic carpet ride of voting fraud. Second lawsuit would criminalize the collection and delivery of someone else's ballot, which is overwhelmingly more likely to affect minority voters than whites. Wait, so it's not already illegal to cast a vote for somebody else? The fuck's going on in Arizona? Let's go to the margin and magic carpet ride story. From our young bucks here on our crack squad, research squad, and news prep squad. It's the best stuff. That's why I read it, I tell you. I would take credit for it if I was like an egomaniac, but I'll give the younger guys credit. If you cannot even figure out how to use the mail, you definitely don't deserve a vote. I like how the Democrats out there, like Pelosi and these guys, they say, ooh, we have to help African American and minorities. We have to help them vote with their absentee ballots. We need extra time and we need to help them. They can't vote. How racist is that? I think African Americans and everybody else can figure out how to mail something into a place. I don't think how disparaging is that? The Democrats are saying black people don't know how to use the mail to vote. Does anybody else find that obscene? That's racist to me. These people are crazy. That concludes our magic carpet ride. Let's go to the weather and traffic on the twos. Larry, out there? It's already chaos. The election's not even here. It's already chaos. Oh, boy. Portland neighbors are frustrated after police take 90 minutes responding to a hostage situation involving a 12-year-old. That's it, 90 minutes? 12-year-old hostage situation. In a hostage situation, and the police, they're not showing up. Unbelievable. Well, you know what they say. Hey, everybody out there in Portland. Hope you're doing well. Hey, if you're calling the police, there's up to a 3-hour delay. No, it's not. It's not a winter storm. School closing, folks. It's the response time for the police. Here's little Tom Petty. You can't make it up. Residents of Southeast Portland neighborhood are furious after police took 90 minutes to respond to a bizarre hostage situation last week when a man ran into an apartment with a 12-year-old boy inside, grabbed a knife, and eventually fled after a standoff with the boy's father. The police are still looking for Al Gore. No, I'm sorry. That wasn't part of the story. I apologize. Allegedly, neighbors chased the man down and cornered him, but he ran off again before police arrived. I was so scared, said Henry Kierum, who was searching for a missing bank card in his car when the man ran inside. After Kierum went back inside, the man charged at him with a knife and a 20-pound dumbbell he found in the apartment. What? What the hell is going on in Portland? When Kierum sprinted back to the apartment and unlocked the door, he saw the man grab a large knife from his kitchen counter. Kierum's son, trembling and crying, was behind the stranger. More than a half dozen calls had come into 911 over the course of the bizarre ordeal, but that apparently didn't speed up the response by the police. The wait confounded and angered Kierum and his neighbors. They wondered what it would take for a police to respond if not an armed man placing a child in jeopardy. Every neighbor here was expecting the police to come. We called about a million times and the police would not show up, Kierum said. Police have acknowledged that the delay was unacceptable. However, they cited a record number of retirements and fatigued officers who have been covering months of BLM protests. Boy, that makes the taxpayer feel good, right? 49 officers have retired and 9 have resigned since July, according to Davis. Other officers are injured or on vacation. Little blue flu, leaving the Bureau with around 310 officers on patrol, divided between 3 precincts. 102 of those officers don't have full training, Davis added. Now, the waiting is the hardest part when a 12-year-old is in jeopardy with a fucking maniac with a knife. And the police are playing grab ass. Grab ass. There's no fucking excuse for that. This is what happens when you appease the mob. The cops are tired from appeasing the mob. I don't blame the cops for retiring, but I do blame the city for not protecting its residents who pay the cops. If you're going to do the job and you're going to take the paycheck, show up and do the job. I don't hear any bullshit that you're tired. We're all fucking tired out here. We're all exhausted. We're all stressed the fuck out. Do your fucking job or quit. Let somebody else do it then. Step up. Let somebody else step up. If you don't want to step up, don't tell Americans out here who are paying your salary that you're fucking tired. You're not going to get any sympathy from us, believe me. We're more exhausted than you are. We're the ones paying the bills. Nobody gave us a reprieve. You guys get what, the day off? Or the week off or the month off? Cool. When do we get a day or a week or a month off from paying for you guys? Show up and do your job. Protect and serve, or get the fuck out. It's very simple. Anyway, that wasn't part of the story, but what the hell? A headline, military confirms that Mall deploying an experimental heat ray to protect the White House. Heat ray? Yeah, this thing is apparently some kind of a weapon. And it shoots like heat out of it. It's like a ray, a pain ray or a heat ray. What the hell is that about? Blowing out some heat, man. That's what it's about. Better watch out. But if somebody said heat, it can only mean one thing. When I hear heat coming out of some kind of a weapon, I think of some canned heat. Experimental Pentagon weapon, which was intended for use in varying scenarios from deterring pirates on the high seas to riot control in city streets in cases of mass unrest, is subject to fresh controversy after documents of its field trial surfaced. This is the song they play with the flute when they deploy the weapon on people.
That sounds really friendly. Oh my God.
Two decades ago, the Department of Defense revealed a weapon called the Active Denial System, or ADS, nicknamed the Pain Ray, or also the Heat Ray, which was capable of inflicting an invisible zap of pain upon protesters failing to disperse, or alternately could deter hostile boats approaching a battleship. When I hear invisible pain ray and getting zapped, I think of April 15th. Tax day. Anyway, it works by directing a blast of energy at a target, causing causing excruciating pain to subjects, as if the skin is on fire, which leaves no lasting or permanent injury. Skin on fire? Was this like going out on a date with Bill Clinton?
It's a serious burning in the groin area.
Essentially hits a subject with a blast of intense searing heat. A 2007 field test later leaked to Wired magazine revealed, however, that an airman serving as a test subject was severely burned by the device. The non-lethal device works by emitting microwave beams at 95 gigahertz, a specific frequency that penetrates the outermost layer of the skin, creating an intense burning sensation, but not powerful enough in theory to cause a burn. Yeah, right. And we're not sure. It's the same doctors worked on this trial that are working on the coronavirus response.
We're not sure it's going to really burn some people. Holy shit, man. It really burned some people. We're wrong about that. The coronavirus can be... It could be transmitted on the surface for up to 1,700 weeks. Yeah, we're pretty sure. No, we were wrong about that. You shouldn't wear a mask. It's not. No, you should wear a mask. And the pain ray doesn't hurt anybody. Oh, my God.
You know, if you're a doctor and you're working for the government, yeah, you're not really a doctor. You're just another government flunky. Oh, boy. What? We might have to go to a little Spencer Davis group. Somebody help me. Somebody might need some help. Somebody help me. They got the pain wave out. After defense officials reportedly looked into using the pain ray to deter recent hostile rioters near the White House, just as recent as last week, examining the potential use of the pain ray after failing to be effective in either Iraq or Afghanistan, in part reportedly because it takes so long to power up and it must be operated from a platform no smaller than a Humvee or other large military vehicle, Pentagon officials mauled the potential for it to be used to deter increasingly violent protests such as the ones that swarmed American cities this summer. It's nice. It's always nice when the military can turn the tax dollars that it spent on developing weapons onto you. It's only a matter of time. She can't even make it up. Singing some more Spencer Davis. Somebody help me. They bring out the pain ray. They'll be bringing that out before you know it if you don't pay your taxes. He didn't pay. Zap him. Truth is stranger than fiction, folks. The news proves it. Headline report. Now, I saw this all over the place, so we'll talk a little bit about it after we read it. U.S. Virgin Islands Attorney General requests Jeffrey Epstein's flight logs from his jets and his helicopters. Flight logs listing the names of all the people transported on Jeffrey Epstein's fleet of aircraft have been subpoenaed by a court in the U.S. Virgin Islands, sparking panic through the rich and famous ranks of those who partied with the deceased pedophile. The Daily Mirror newspaper reports that Attorney General in the U.S. Virgin Islands, where the billionaire had an estate and is said to have carried out many of his horrific crimes, has demanded to see the logs which document the passengers on his aircraft and their dates of travel. The logs of his four helicopters and three jet planes, including his Lolita Express private jet, spanned from 1998 until his suicide in prison last year. What, the FBI already doesn't have this? What? Don't think the FBI already doesn't have this stuff. They haven't done dick with it. That's why I laugh at stories like this. It's another fucking misinformation, misdirection. Trying to get you all hepped up. They already know who was on the fucking planes. These are people traveling to and from U.S. territories. According to the FAA. You don't think the FBI knows this stuff? There's too many alphabet agencies there. I'm getting mixed up. Like I'm on Sesame Street half the time with all these alphabet agencies. Attorney General Denise George has filed a lawsuit against the estate alleging 22 counts including human trafficking, aggravated rape, child abuse, neglect, forced labor, and prostitution. Yeah, but guess what? They still haven't taken his money. So this is all bullshit. George is also requesting to see any complaints or reports of potentially suspicious conduct, as well as personal notes made by the pilots. What the fuck would you need that for when you have the witness testimony of people that were raped, molested, trafficked? What the hell more can the pilots tell you about that the witnesses haven't already told you 10 times, 15 times to the FBI, to DHS now, to newspaper reporters? This is bullshit. Gives a fuck what the pilots say. You have fact witnesses telling you that they were molested, trafficked, and nothing happened. What's the pilot gonna say? Subpoena demands the names and details of anyone who worked for the pilots, interacted with Epstein, and passengers who traveled with him. You already have that. You already have the people that were on the Lolita Express who says that they were assaulted sexually and taken advantage of and trafficked and did massages for cash. And you've talked to these people and decided to do nothing. Ghislaine Maxwell wasn't charged with any of the fact witness testimony. This is all bullshit. Don't get too excited, folks. Don't get too excited. And who says you're going to ever see the flight logs anyhow? Who says you're ever going to see that? Don't you think that would be under seal? Of course it will be. And if not, we'll see. Time will tell. They already have the dirt. They have the dirt. They don't need to know any information from the pilots. You think the pilots were taking breaks, wearing party hats, running around in their underwear? It's stupid. The whole thing's dumb. Another misdirection. Why wasn't this done years ago? Right? Okay, let's give these idiots, because they are in the government. Let's give, and we know that they're stupid and they're not very good at what they do. That's why they're in the government. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Why wasn't this done a month or two after Epstein was arrested? Why is it being done now after he's dead? Think about these things. It makes no sense. No sense. It doesn't add up. Plain and simple. Illinois Democratic governor says if the federal government does not bail out his state, it will face a nightmare scenario of a 5% budget cut. Oh, man. Time to dial up some Alice Cooper. While we take a quick drink of water here. We're rolling here. Welcome to My Nightmare. That's the official song of the Welcome Committee, and the Tourist Committee in Washington, D.C. Hey, watch a 5-minute film strip about Washington, D.C. Gather around, people. Is that Alice Cooper's Welcome to My Nightmare? Illinois Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker, whatever the hell his name is, sounded the alarm Tuesday regarding the possibility that Illinois may have to cut 5% from its budget next year, which he described as a nightmare. Maybe Illinois is the nightmare, buddy. He also pleaded with the federal government for a bailout package to help avert such a nightmare. Fuck you, Pritzker. J.B., see, they run up the tab and they want you to bail them out. You, the American taxpayer. Meanwhile, Illinois Republicans had little sympathy for Pritzker's pleas, saying that they wanted and warned Pritzker months ago that the state's revenues, which are anticipated to reach only $37 billion, were woefully inadequate to pay for the governor's $42 billion budget package. Time to start firing some of those cronies, some of those nepotism cronies, Pritzker, in Cook County and beyond. Pritzker, whoever. You know, I don't know where this story's from, but they call him Pritzker, and now, I'm not kidding, it's from The Blaze. So you can, if you think I'm making this up, you can read it. It's okay, I like The Blaze. It's just funny. And people are probably like, can you get the name right? Can you get the name right? It says Pritzker, then it says Pritzker, now it says Pritzler. I kind of like it. I like that they can't get the guy's name wrong. It's like Paul Newman in The Sting. He keeps calling the guy Lonigan. He keeps calling Lonigan by the wrong name and sending the guy over the edge. Well, I... the name's Lonigan. Pritzler warned that the budget shortfall could lead to thousands of layoffs. City of Chicago has also faced a severe budget shortfall this year, leading Mayor Lori Lightfoot, I get that wrong too. I'm sorry, that's my problem. Who has engaged in a frequent war of words with President Donald Trump to propose a budget that includes severe cutbacks for 2021. In order to make up for a shortfall this year. Of note, Illinois has consistently lagged behind most of the rest of the country and federal guidance when it comes to allowing economic activity to resume in the state. This means many Illinois small business owners have had to cut their budgets by 100%, specifically because of the orders issued by Pritzker, and his administration, as opposed to the nightmare 5% potential state budget cut bemoaned by Pritzker. pretty sure the actual name is Pritzker. But I like the fact that we have the option to change it during the story. I think this is a pioneering advancement in journalism. If you're an asshole, not journalistically, we're not really responsible for getting your name right all the time. You forfeit the right to accuracy because you're a fucking asshole. I like that. Your Honor. We got a video on this, huh? Let's move to the videotape. Let's see here. Protesters in Philadelphia chase down and assault random citizens for being Nazis. Only in Philly, huh? Wow. Let's go to the videotape.
Oh, wait.
These guys are crazy, man. The hell is that about? What? Did you see that? They're hunting people down now. That's what it's come down to. What do we got for this? What kind of music we got for this? Nonsense. Oh, Streets of Philadelphia. Okay. Bruce, play some Bruce. He knows what it's like to be, struggle. Only in Philadelphia. Just when we thought we had seen the peak boredom from America's misinformed Marxists disguised as some kind of anti-fascist freedom fighters. New video out of Philadelphia have surfaced, showing that now, more than ever, there's too many art students and unemployed millennials that need to find hobbies. Too many varmints, street urchins, vagabonds, vagrants, more like it. The first video shows a group of several people chasing a man through a park. That's the one we just watched. Holy shit, you made a bad mistake, one protester says before another, cloaked in a hood of what appears to be a $500 REI jacket, tries to kick the man they're chasing and then falls over. Yeah, you got to see the video. The guy tries like a WWE move, WWF move, almost snaps his own neck. The man then jogs in the other direction and appears to get away from his bad mistake, whatever it was, scot-free. All the videos are on our webpage, so check it out if you want to. Second video in the story of this Pain in the Morning episode. Second video out of Philadelphia shows a man that a mob reportedly chased to his car. And by mob, we naturally mean a group of what appears to be kids in their early 20s, replete with full Antifa Halloween costume of black hoods and masks. Fuck off, Nazi scum, the supposed protesters can be heard saying. These aren't protesters. These guys are psychos.
Pilchey's going to get himself in a lawsuit.
Alleged psychos. Thank you, Clyde. Get the fuck out of here, someone yells while other mob members kick and dent the person's car repeatedly. When the car drives off after being dented and damaged, someone throws a rock at its back window. Third video shows a different angle of an assault, showing there was a dog in the back of the SUV at the time. It wasn't... Good thing it wasn't my dog back in the day. My shepherd. Those guys. Don't fucking play with the German shepherds. This is insane. Again, we're the Philly cops. Are they tired too? Don't give me that shit. We're tired. None of us out here want to hear that shit. On the streets of Well, we move on, folks. Just when you thought it couldn't get any crazier, it has. massive FinCEN leak, FinCEN, F-I-N-C-E-N, exposes how the biggest Western banks finance drug cartels, terrorists, and mobsters. Now, I read this, okay? It's from BuzzFeed News. Most of it is information we already know about, at least when I worked for Citi. This is right up my alley. BuzzFeed's calling them the FinCEN files. There's some good information in here that we will tackle, but most of it's already public, and I wouldn't call it hardly groundbreaking for people. And I mean, maybe it is to other people. I don't know. That's why we'll put it out there, okay? But I already knew about this stuff. Most federal agencies know about this stuff and working for and on both sides, for banks, in a bank, and for the feds. To me, this is second nature, but maybe it'll come as a surprise to you. In a related story, 3 years ago, we wrote a story. I republished it today. I reposted it today, retweeted it today about the Clinton Foundation and their FinCEN filings that showed that they had links to financing radicals and possible terrorism groups. And, of course, it didn't get as much play as it should have, but doesn't make it nonetheless not true. So keep that in mind and look for that, too, after you read this. You might find that interesting. Again, it was done 3 years ago. Some of the stuff we've done is truly, by journalistic standards, for me, is truly awesome. The fact that it comes back 2, 3, 4 years later. And people ask me why I retweet stuff that's old. I retweet everything for a reason, folks. Stick around. Pay attention. It always comes back around. I hear things are happening, and I start retweeting old stories. And then, boom, when it hits, people are like, oh, yeah, okay. Now that's why he's been hitting that for 2 weeks. Now I get it, right? We have our pulse on a lot of things here. And I don't have to explain everything to everybody. Look, the people who are smart that follow us, they understand what's going on. We move quick here. Boom, 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 boom. We don't have time to babysit people. That's why you listen to me, right? You take away the things I say on a daily basis and you get a feel and you get a flow for what's going on. I don't have to babysit our regularly enhanced viewers and listeners. They know what's happening. If you don't know what's happening, get in the know. It's not my responsibility to get you up to speed. It's your responsibility. What do we got for this? So there's some decent stuff in here that we'll cover, okay? But I wouldn't say it's groundbreaking. But it's decent. It's decent. What about a little Steve Miller?
Your cash ain't nothing but trash.
Okay, what looks like one of the biggest leaks of private banking records since the Panama Papers. Yeah, BuzzFeed News has published a lengthy investigation into how the world's biggest banks allow dirty money for organized criminals, drug cartels, and terror groups like Al-Qaeda, the Taliban to flow through their networks. If you've been listening to me for the last 2 years on the Moore Payne Show, I've been saying this for 2 years, so you're up to speed. Talking about certain things that happened to Citigroup that they just ignore. And so this will probably come as an old hat to you, but again, I was dishing this stuff for the last couple of years, and I'm happy to keep you guys up to speed on it. Instead of combating financial crime, the current system of requiring banks to report all suspicious transactions, the FinCEN simply allows money laundering to flourish while ensuring that any enforcement will be of the whack-a-mole variety. These documents compiled by banks shared with the government but kept from public view expose the hollowness of banking safeguards and the ease with which criminals have exploited them. Profits from deadly drug wars, fortunes embezzled from developing countries, and hard-earned savings stolen in a Ponzi scheme were all allowed to flow into and out of these financial institutions despite warnings from the bank's own employees. Been there, done that, folks. The banks don't care. Well, I used to say, well, did my job. I got my documentation. When the feds kick your door in, I'm not going to be holding the bag. Guess what? The feds never kick the door in. They just fine the bank. The bank laughs, pays the fine. Says we're making a lot more money from these clients than these stupid fines. Whatever. Is that what you got? That's all you got? Pay the fine. Laws that were meant to stop financial crime have instead allowed it to flourish. I don't agree with that. The laws that were meant to stop financial crime are still there. It's the people that have allowed it to flourish. The feds, not the law. So long as a bank files a notice that it may be facilitating criminal activity, it all but immunizes itself and its executives from criminal prosecution. The suspicious activity alert effectively gives them a free pass to keep moving the money and collecting the fees. Not true. In theory, true. Okay, but not. You're supposed to do something about it. But again. Again. An important thing that this story doesn't cover. When the government gets in trouble, who does it come to for money sometimes? When it doesn't want to print money. It comes to the banks. Right? And the money, the government makes a lot of money off the banks. Look how much money it made after the 2008 crash when it subsidized all the banks. Basically became socialist. They socialized all the banks. I was in Citigroup at the time. I think they gave Citigroup $40 billion? $50 billion? And they gave other folks that money too? Bank of America? And they made a vig on all that. The government said, yeah, pay us back. And we want interest. We want a vig. So, do you think that the federal government's going to hassle these banks over some rinky-dink bullshit where people are laundering money through their banks? Cartels are laundering money through their banks when they're making money off the banks? No. Something this story didn't also cover is HSBC. Loretta Lynch, as U.S. attorney in New York, let them off the hook. Who was part of that? They were laundering $1 billion plus, I think $1 or $2 billion dollars for Mexican drug cartels. Comey was involved in that when he was out of government. He was involved. He was on the board of the bank. They were laundering drug cartel money. Nobody went to jail. They got fined. Big fucking deal. You know how much money you make moving $2 billion inside of a bank? When you can, and then you can reinvest that money and hand that out in other loans? Massive amounts of money. So as I said, this isn't as groundbreaking as they may think it is, but it is putting it out there, which is a public service. If you're putting it back out there and letting people perhaps read it for the first time. Some of you folks might be hearing this for the first time. What it does not do is force the banks to shut the money laundering down. It's true. In response to BuzzFeed's questions about the leaked trove of SARS, SARS are suspicious activity reports they're talking about, S-A-R-S. Treasury Department warned that the company's decision to publish information gleaned from leaked SARS could make the banks more hesitant to file them. That's bullshit. You're going to file them anyhow. It's a fucking federal law. You have to file your SARS. You know, a lot of people out there watch TV. I got to stretch here. I'm getting like a cramp or something. A lot of people out there watch TV and they say, oh, you got to keep your deposits under $10,000. Or the bank will file a report. See a lot of people smurfing money. They do a lot of different deposits, like $9,800, $9,600 to keep it under 10 grand. That's Hollywood. That's TV, baby. Anything over 3 grand can trigger a suspicious activity report, so remember that next time you're trying to launder money. You want to keep those things at $2,900 if you're a criminal. You'd see that stuff coming in. Sequential money orders and things like that, but deposits of $9,400, $9,300, $9,800, $9,999. You're like, these guys have been watching too much TV. Because they're going to get a they've already triggered a SAR when it's over $3,000. At least that's how we did things at Citi. In addition to being a powerful law enforcement tool, the SAR system is a nightmare of surveillance overreach. Particularly after the 9/11, the system evolved into a tool of mass surveillance, creating a massive treasure trove of data that could be weaponized against anybody. Yeah, but here's the thing, right? This goes on for a while. You should read this on our site. On our site, for sure. This is a good story. And it's from BuzzFeed, who I've had problems with before, but, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due. And we're not going to cover the whole thing because it's long. It's decent. But what I'm trying to do is augment it with some real life stuff. Yeah, most people just get slapped on the wrist. Banks and stuff like I told you about. I mean, suspicious activity reports were filed on Bernie Madoff and the feds didn't do anything. My point is, what happens if you don't do anything with the information? You can have all the information in the world, but if you're not doing anything from the federal side, who gives a shit? Collect everything you want. What happens is, if they come after you, then they have it. But it doesn't make any sense anyhow, because they would get it anyhow. With subpoenas. I've always shook my head at that saying. If you're not going to process it, and you're not going to act on it, what are you doing in the first place? And the long and short of it is, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. That's why they're there. That's why they work for Treasury. You know, guys, the federal government doesn't attract smart people. The ones that are smart, they work there. They either work their way up the ladder or they get the hell out. The rest of the people are not very fucking bright. They're not. I worked with them. I mean, the very fact that suspicious activity reports were being filed on Bernie Madoff, the largest fraudster in U.S. history, and the feds didn't catch it. I wonder if this will open up any lawsuits against the feds for investors who got bilked millions of dollars. I don't know how much he took. What was it? Was it $50 billion? That sounds crazy, right? Could have been that big. Let's look it up. Tackle this for a minute. Listen to a little Bank Robber by The Clash. No pun intended. That's why we play the song. Madoff was arrested December 2008. Pleaded guilty to 11 federal crimes and admitted to operating the largest private Ponzi scheme in history. He entered a sentence to 150 years in prison with restitution of $170 billion. According to the original federal charges, Madoff said that his firm had liabilities of approximately $50 billion U.S. Prosecutors estimated the size of the fraud to be $64.8 billion based on the amounts in the accounts of Madoff's 4,800 clients. Ignoring opportunity costs and taxes paid on fictitious profits, half of Madoff's direct investors lost no money. Goes on and on and on. So we're talking about 35 billion dollars of the money Madoff claimed to have stolen never really existed. It was simply fictional profits he reported to his clients. Okay, so you're talking about 64.8 billion dollars. How many suspicious activity reports did that trigger? The feds never caught on to it, though. That's not how they... It wasn't an organic investigation. It was bilked investors who went to the feds and the Security Exchange Commission sparked that probe. Look, the bottom line is banks make money from risky investments and risky clients, okay? And that's the way it is. That's the way it is. That's reality. And clients who are in illicit businesses, it matters none. Jeffrey Epstein worked with Citi, talked about that, worked with Deutsche Bank. They take the risk. They take the wealth. They build the wealth. It's acceptable risk versus reward because at best they get a fine from the government, but all the money that these other people bring in with new clients, friends of theirs, it's a windfall for the banks. And at the end of the day, the government makes money off the banks. Not only through taxes and things like that, but through bailouts and schemes like PPP. Everybody's getting a piece. Banks are getting a piece. Feds are getting a piece on the back end like they did in 2008 when they extended bailouts 100 cents on the dollar from the failed banks. The subprime scheme, disaster, 100 cents on the dollar. Fed Chairman Paulson bailed everybody out. What? You paid for that. The banks got richer. You got poorer. Did you lose your house? They didn't lose their house. Nobody went to jail. Okay? This is what I talk about when I say there's a protection racket. The rich and famous, the rules don't apply to those people. That includes bankers and Wall Street movers and shakers, rainmakers, kingmakers. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. So read that whole story. It's very interesting. You don't have to read the whole story, but you can read as much as you want, but you get the gist of it. And again, we've covered this. If you listen to me for the last 2 years on the Moore Payne Show, tonight, by the way, new Moore Payne Show, we've covered this. I've talked about what it was like inside Citi and my experiences being one of the gatekeepers who reported these things to the feds. And it's a perspective a lot of people don't have. BuzzFeed could have used my expertise on this, but whatever. Not that I would have given it to them, believe me, after the shit they pulled on me or tried to pull on me, but that's okay. Water under the bridge. We appreciate the folks out there on patreon.com/truepundit, subscribestar.com/truepundit, watching the video podcast and supporting us directly. If you got a couple bucks, you can throw it our way. Hey, we'll put it to good use. We're not funded by millionaires and billionaires, and I know you've heard me say that before. I'll continue to say it because it remains true. Tune in to Moore Payne on those platforms tonight and be back with a 1-2 punch tomorrow. Payne in the Morning on Wednesday and the Big Wednesday podcast. A lot of things gelling and circling and on boil. And some things on the front burner, some things on the back burner when it comes to interesting intel. So we'll see what percolates by Wednesday and what we can get out to you. So until then, as I say, take care. God bless you.
your man, eat your dinner, eat your pork and beans. I eat more chicken and eggs.